Well, there's something about contemplating your own non-existence that can send one into a complete tailspin, isn't there? That might seem like a pretty deep or even ominous way to begin today's sermon, but I have to think that the folks in our scripture reading for today were thinking about the end of their existence. According to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, some of the Corinthians have been saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And if they're thinking about whether or not people can rise from the dead, then it seems likely that they're thinking about their own death or the deaths of loved ones and wondering what comes next. What happens after they die? Christian Wiman, an author and a poet and professor, writes, "How desperately we, the living, want to believe in this possibility, that death could be filled with promise, that the pain of leaving and separation could be, if not a foretaste of joy, then at least not meaningless." Friends in Christ, we wrestle with our finitude. We wonder what comes after. We're not always sure about this resurrection language, this possibility of heaven or an afterlife or something beyond the world that is around us. And I think especially now, when we have spent the last months being confronted with death so starkly, who can blame any of us for wondering if resurrection is possible, for doubting that things can be better? Some of you say there can be no resurrection of the dead, writes Paul. There have been days during this pandemic where I am not far off from the Corinthians' disbelief. When we are surrounded by death and suffering, it can seem almost foolish to believe that things could actually be different. I don't know what kind of odd thoughts come into your head when it's late at night and you're trying to just go to sleep, but the heady and contemplative ones always seem to surface for me. One of the less fun ones is the question of existence. What will happen after I die? And what will it be like? Will there just be nothing? In contemplating our own non-existence, our thoughts can quickly become like peering into a deep abyss. Like a deep ocean view, we look down and all we can see is more water, water going down deeper, deeper, the ocean floor never in sight, the water just becoming darker until we can't see any further. We don't know what is down there. In much the same way, when we think of our own non-existence, we don't know for sure what awaits us. We don't know what it will look like. We don't know exactly what happens after this earthly life. No one can tell us what existence after death will be like. And the not knowing leads to uncertainty. And in our uncertainty, we might wonder if resurrection is possible. You and I wrestle with our finitude. Beloved, God promises life. God promises restoration. God says, yes, definitely, there is life after death. Given the way time seems to have lost meaning these days, it might feel as though Easter was ages ago. But it is still Easter, and we are still in this season during which we proclaim Christ is risen indeed, alleluia, at the beginning of our services. Like Paul says to the Corinthians, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. This past week was the Festival of Homiletics, a yearly preaching festival that features some of the best preachers and lecturers and theologians of our time. And when I was watching the live stream on Thursday, one of the preachers, Katie Hayes, was speaking. And she talked about how easy it is for preachers and for people in general to get sidetracked from the main message of the gospel. When we hear the stories of Jesus healing people, we might talk about kindness or how Jesus was nice or was inclusive. Jesus heals the leper, and we talk about how Jesus was inclusive and touched people that others would have found unclean. Or we hear how Jesus speaks up for the woman who had been married 5 times, and we say that he was kind and loving and not judgmental. But at the heart of those stories, at the heart of what Jesus does, it's about life. Jesus gives life. Jesus changes lives. Of course, it was kind and loving and miraculous that Jesus did any of these things for people. But when you boil it down, what Jesus really did was change these people's whole lives. The leper can now rejoin life in community. The woman's whole social standing has shifted. People who have essentially been walking around as though dead or non-existent by society's standards are now alive. And the same is true for you today. When surrounded by death, know that God makes you alive. When faced with worry about this life, this body, this world, know that Christ gives new life, a new body, a new world. When you contemplate your own non-existence, know that you will not die, but have eternal life. We will not all die, writes Paul, but we will all be changed. Beloved, remember what we heard Jesus proclaim in Matthew. God is God of the living, not the dead. God breathes the Spirit into us, awakening our hearts, changing our lives, enlivening our bones. Regardless of your predicament or your backstory, your worries, God promises life. Children of God, we are invited to trust. We are invited to have confidence in God's promise. We are invited to keep believing. When I look at our world and all its brokenness and divisions, I wonder, what would it look like if we trusted that new life would come out of this deep and collective despair we are experiencing right now? How might our choices and behaviors change if we trusted that God is walking with us? What happens to the world if we live into the promise that death will not get the victory? I'll be the first one to tell you that saying those things is far easier than actually believing in them. But isn't that the heart of faith in the matter? On Wednesday, we had our weekly Faith 5 check-in for our church community. And the topic this time was about trust. In our conversations, many different topics came up. How hard it is for us to trust when we don't have all the facts, can't see the bigger picture, aren't the ones in control? How do we even decide where to put our trust when we can't see the outcome? Trusting in life after death may seem futile, even childish, but how freeing, how changed you might be after relieving yourself of the burden of knowing what comes next. Believing that there is life after death requires faith, because we can't know resurrection until after we've died. There's no fact check available. But to the Corinthians who say Jesus could not have been raised, Paul says, hold firmly to the message proclaimed to you that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day was raised. Belief in something more than this current life is an act of faith, and you are invited to trust. Friends, as time goes on and we continue to find ourselves in this new kind of world that we're living in, I pray that you remember that while we cannot know what will come next, we can trust that it will be a beginning rather than an ending. God promises us new life, changed life, not the absence of life. May God's promise of life give you hope. Amen.